I still have a little voice left after auctioning and 3 or 4 hours of rehearsal and everything else last night. And sort of is maybe incongruous for the man who sat up there and screamed to start talking about something as tender as love and femininity and the Song of Solomon and all of those good things that God has redeemed in man and woman, because they are man and woman. It's the fourth of the books in this collection of wisdom books that I'd like to just redeem for you this morning, Song of Solomon. I know we had a lot of fun with it when we spoofed it at the 4th of July, but then that's because we look at it from a long distance instead of being really a part of it. If you listen to it, it's really a collection of beautiful love songs, of wedding songs, and every facet of love, of human love, is recorded and is preserved and in that sense, saved for us and redeemed for us. You can run through this and you can find the call of love, you can find spring fever, you can find the bridal chamber, you can find the typical romantic who sees in his love the absolutely perfect person who has no flaw in her. You can find the person who tries to fathom the mystique of a woman, and all of the poetry is so high and so very lyrical, and the mystique is sort of exaggerated. There's the fantasy and the dream. All of those things that are truly beautiful. All of these things are said to be good. Now, the book was put in the canon possibly because this was a book in which they said this was a story of an analogy between God and the people of Israel. That was a way of overcoming the problem that many men have had, that somehow you shouldn't talk about the physical. You shouldn't affirm the physical, the touch, the feminine, the sensual, the things that are good in man as a physical person. Let me just read a couple of these to show you something of how very, very beautiful and yet how very, very specific this is. Until the day breathes and the shadows flee, and I will hie me to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. You are all fair, my love. There is no flaw in you. Come with me, my bride, from Lebanon. Come with me. You have ravished my heart, my sister, my bride. You have ravished my heart with a glance of your eyes, as one jewel on your necklace. How sweet is your love, my sister, my bride. Or another one. Who is this that looks forth like the dawn, fair as the moon, bright as the sun, terrible as an army with banners? I went out to the nut orchard and to look for the blossoms of the valley, to see whether the vines had been budding, whether the pomegranates were in bloom. And before I was aware of it, my fancy took hold of me and set me in a chariot beside my prince. What a beautiful fantasy. What a beautiful dream. Or one of the ones at the end. Seal me as a seal upon your heart, as a seal upon your arm. For love is as strong as death, and jealousy as cruel as the grave. It flashes as flashes of fire. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can floods drown it. If a man offered for love all the wealth of his house, it would be utterly scorned. So it is that beautiful thing, that beautiful thing called love, the physical, the taste of man and woman together, the touch of man and woman together, the beauty of man and woman together, is exalted. And yet it's so easy for us to somehow feel that in Christ we redeem not really the whole person, that we don't redeem that part of man that is truly physical, that is part of his whole being, that when we love as human beings, we don't just love somehow with a mind or with some kind of little thing inside of us, but that we love with everything, and that Pam, who gave me a beautiful little poem precisely on this thing before she left yesterday, that girl who started the hugging campaign. And that's so strong and so important to recognize that in that touch, that in that feeling of man and man, woman and woman, there is something that is good and healthy, and yet something that we can take and distort if we look at it the wrong way. Oh yes, every one of us is going to notice another person. If we look in some people's eyes, we see far more than we see in others. We are moved by the eyes of some people. We are moved by the love that's there. And it's so easy when you do love someone, when you reach out in love, to want to possess that person, to want to want that person, to want to want them for yourself. Not just to say it's great to love you and to affirm you, but to more than that, to hold you, to keep you. And in so doing, as you expose yourself, to hurt that person. And it was so strange that what Pam said in her little poem, which I am not at liberty to read to you, is really almost the same thing that was said, although she didn't know it, in a poem that I had written called In the Eye, Look Me in the Eye. Some of you heard it. I'd like to read it again and just make a couple of comments. Because we always stop and remember that the love that we love, all of our love, is redeemed if it is remembered and is born and grows out of the love that God has for us. That he showed in his Son, becoming a physical man, becoming a man who felt and knew what it was to love, to reach out, to love a woman, to redeem a woman like Mary Magdalene, to redeem his own mother, to redeem all of those things that are good about love that touches the heart of man, to redeem them and bring them back, to redeem romantics like us. It goes like this. Lately I've wondered what it must have been like to look you straight in the eye, Lord, and to hear the sound of your voice. You must have disturbed many people, excited many women when you looked at them and spoke to them in love. There are some people whose eyes and voice and presence invade me like a beam. They can make me leap inside as though I were a ball bounding for the sky. I want to leave through the ceiling to escape with the wind and fly. Perhaps I should make my ceiling one enormous window so I can watch the clouds spinning off in chase of new lives. What's all right for you, Lord? You took off through the clouds a long time ago. When people touch my love nerves, I want them. I want them for myself. I guess I would have wanted you that way if I had seen you face to face. Is that one of the dangers of being Christ to others? For how can I love without being selfish? How can I free others without leaving them torn by my blundering? How can I be loved without being possessed like a bird in a web? How can love be free? How can I be free to love those you have given me to love? Love seems to have so many different faces and angles and edges. All I know, Lord, is that love hurts. And I hurt because I hurt others with my kind of love. Tomorrow I may meet someone else whose eyes can penetrate my soul and fling me hard against another ceiling until my bouncing soul dies slowly and weakly. Lord, teach me to fly, to come alive, to love again, to bounce back for the sake of those I love. Look me, Lord, look me in the eye. It's important that we realize that we cannot love by ourselves. You see, we put this word to it so glibly, doing what comes naturally. What comes naturally may be one phase of it, but the real love, the kind of love that means that you heal instead of hurt, that you build instead of possess, is a kind of love that only comes when you come to that Lord and give him or ask from him the strength, the power, the will, the love to love. Lord, give us the love to learn how to love. Amen.